was a real blessing this morning, coming to the house of the Lord. And you know, as the Bible says, it's better to come into the house of mourning than it is to come into the house of mirth. And it's always a good reminder to remember that the realities of life and death, and the promises that God has given to us as the people of God, that we have victory over death, and we have nothing to fear. And we can walk with the Lord, and we can go through that, and it's as if we were always, you know, you walk, you know what that happened to Enoch? He walked with God, and then he just walked into eternity. That's the way it can be for the Christian, because even though the body might fail, in the soul, the inner man is just walking with the Lord. And what an amazing blessing that is. And we're going to continue our kind of series on theology. We've been learning about the Lord, about God, and just noting in the Bible that how many times it says that we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. And when we grow in the knowledge of God, our faith becomes stronger. When we understand who God is, then we are able to live the way that God wants us to live. What we think and what we believe about who God is will affect all areas of our life. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about the nature of God tonight, the what God is, and so we can understand a little bit about what He has revealed about who He is. Because we can perceive some things. We can perceive from the creation that God is wise and He can He's ordered all things and He's put all things in place and everything is where it should be, and so God is intelligent and He's thoughtful and He's able to He's powerful and that He's able to make it and put it all in the place where it needs to be. And so we can tell those things by looking around at nature, looking at the body, looking at plants, looking at the animal kingdom. All those things point us to God. God's fingerprint is on everything. And when you look at the things around us and you see the Lord, that's when you begin to understand that God is real. But God also revealed Himself in a very special way through His Word, through the Bible. He tells us things in here that we wouldn't know just by looking at creation. He tells us the things that we must know. He tells us everything we need to know about life, about death, about God, about ourselves, the things we don't want to know. It tells us what we're really like. And we say, no, 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 no. I'm not that like that. Oh, yes, 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 you are. And coming to that realization and accepting that, that's when you begin to reconcile with God. And a person comes to God and says, I'm a sinner and I need salvation. Because I've realized what I am. And I've realized who you are. And I know that I need to do something to make this right. And we come to the Lord. And so we're going to be looking a little bit about the nature of God. And we're going to turn to 1 Timothy. And we'll read chapter 1, verse 17, and then we'll pray. And we sang a song today that's based upon this verse. Verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for you. Lord, what would we be? We would not be at all. For you created us, you made us, you made all things. And you made them for, not just for your pleasure, Lord, but you made things upon this earth for our pleasure, that we might see the beauty of your infinite knowledge and see the things that the spectacular, different things that you've been able to make and that live upon this earth. We look in the depths of the sea, we look in the forests, we look in the flowers, we look at all these things, we see your beauty and we see your character. And we pray, Lord, that tonight as we look into your word, that we would see your nature and who you are, how you've revealed yourself to us so that we might understand, and sometimes even some things, Lord, that are not able to be understood because our minds are not able to comprehend what you are and how you can be. But Lord, you've shown us in your word that you are these things. And so we ask, Lord, tonight that you would open our eyes and help us, Lord, to understand a little bit about you, and Lord, that would also make a change in our life. For the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we know, Lord, that we need to understand, and we need, Lord, to know how you react with us. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you might teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so the first thing that we want to look at about the nature of God is that God is a spirit. And if you turn with me to John chapter 4, and Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and he's been revealing himself to her and showing her that he is the Messiah. And she understood that. And she understood exactly what he was saying. And in this conversation that he was having with her, she's saying, well, you know, you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem, and we worship in Samaria. Where do you think we should worship? If you're the Messiah, where do we go? Where do we meet with God? And he says in verse 24, God is spirit. He's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he was saying to her, look, you can worship God anywhere. He is everywhere because of what he is. He's a spirit. And this means that if God is a spirit, that means he's immaterial. He has no physical body. Okay, that's important for us to understand. Because we see things and we understand by our senses the things that are around us. And so when we see things and we can touch it, we can feel it, we can hear it, we can understand it, and it's there. But God is outside of all those senses. He's a spirit. You can't touch him. You can't see him. You can't hear him. Yeah, he's just there. And this is, you know, it's hard for us to understand this kind of concept because of who we are. We are also a spiritual being, but we're trapped inside a physical body. Yeah. And that's why when you're in your mind, you can do amazing things. You can dream amazing things. You can do things that your body couldn't do. And sometimes, you know, as you get older, you think, yeah, I can go out and play football with the young fellas. I know how to do it. I have the will. I remember what it was like when I was younger. I can do that. And you go out there, and for about 2 minutes after you've started playing, you go, I can't do this. The body can't do it. The soul doesn't age. You know, you're always young on the inside. Always young. It doesn't age. Your soul will continue for all of eternity. There's no aging in that. The body, though, falls apart. And so when we consider this concept, you know, of the soul and the body, and we look at God, we understand that God also doesn't age. He's outside of time. He's this is something that can't affect him. He will always be. But if he's the immaterial and has no physical body, we understand that from what Jesus said to the disciples as he was walking on the water towards the boat. They said, is that a spirit? Is it a ghost? And he says, does a spirit have flesh and bone like I have? Right? So he was basically explaining what a spirit is. It's something that doesn't have flesh and bone, no physical body. And this is why God told the people of Israel, thou shalt not worship any image of any likeness of anything below the earth, on the earth, or above the earth. Because God doesn't have an image. He doesn't have a shape. He can't be confined into a statue. Okay, he is greater than all things. And that's why he was saying to the people of Israel, you cannot worship me through idols or statues and things like that. It's got to be by faith. Because you can't see me. And you can't feel me. And you can't think, I'm just there. You have to understand that. You have to believe that. That God is the Spirit. And this is the first part of what God is. He is no physical body. And so he cannot be worshipped in any other way but by faith. You can't make an image. You can't paint a picture. You can't do those things. And that's why there are no pictures in the Bible. He doesn't want you to. If there was a picture in the Bible, you'd worship it. And when Moses made the brazen serpent to save the people of Israel from the snake bites that they were getting in the wilderness, and the people had to, by faith, look to that serpent and they'd be healed, which was also an act of faith in doing that, but they had to look at that serpent. But you know what happened in Hezekiah's day? What they were doing with that serpent? That became an idol. Then they were worshipping it, and Hezekiah had to get it and smash it to bits. He said, it's just a piece of brass. It's nothing. You can't do that. You can't worship that. God is incorporeal. He's immaterial. He's a spirit, and you can't worship him with an image. In Romania, there's images everywhere. You can't worship without an image. You go into the church, the walls and the ceilings are pictured with saints and with Jesus and with Mary and all these things, so that you can see those things and that you can worship by sight. There's no faith involved. There's no faith involved. It's all by sight. And so God says, this is not the way that I am to be worshipped. I am a spirit, and if we want to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, in the inner man, and also knowing the realities of what God has revealed to us. It's worshipping God in spirit and in truth. He is invisible because he has no body. We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. You can't see him with your eyes. You can only see him through faith. If we look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And talking about Jesus, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was the image. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, dwelling among us, being tempted as we were and as we are, and without sin. And so he came to reveal God to us, God the Father to us. And he came to fulfill the law, and he came to die for the sins of the world. If we look in Job chapter 19, even though God is invisible, one day we'll see him. Man, there's an interesting fact. Even though he's invisible, one day we will see him. And it says in Job chapter 19, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. There will be a day when we will see the invisible, when we pass through that veil of death, and we see the realities of the spiritual realm, and we'll see the invisible God. He that dwells in the thick darkness, as the Bible says. Not only does Him being a spirit means that he's invisible, but it also means he's alive. We are alive because God breathed into us his spirit and we became a living soul. And he is a spirit. And not only is he alive, but he is the source of life. He is life. And he sustains life. See, we as human beings, our life is reliant upon several things from without the body. We have to eat, we have to drink, we have to breathe, we have to be kept together by God. Yeah? But God, he is life. He doesn't need any external things to keep him alive. He has always been and will always be. And he doesn't need to be sustained by anything. He is self-sufficient in that he's called the living God, as opposed to the dead idols of the world. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and Paul saying to to Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to the world, the Apostle John describes him as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, the Bible says. And it says there that it says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so he is the life. And Jesus even said that to those that were following him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the source of life. That's why he's able to give eternal life to anyone that will put their faith in him. Because he is life. And those people that reject him are rejecting the source of life. And so I describe it in the Bible as being dead already, because they've rejected life. And so God is alive. He's a spirit, which means he's alive. He's the source of life. He sees, he hears, he loves, he moves, he acts. Okay, he thinks. He's a spirit. All-wise spirit. He's also a person. He's self-conscious. He has feelings, appetites, thoughts. Okay, he is also free to make choices from within himself, to view in the view of his motives and his ends. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 9, speaking about God, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's self-conscious. He knows of himself. He speaks of himself as I and me. And he responds to you. When we say, Lord, you, can you do something? Can you please help these things? He responds to that because he's a person. He has a personality. He's a spirit. He has intellect and sensibilities and volition. That means he can think, he can feel, and he can do. He's a will. He has a will. He speaks, he sees, he hears, he grieves, he's angered, he can be jealous, okay? He can be compassionate, kind, thoughtful, all these things, because he's a spirit. He's the creator, the upholder, the ruler, the sustainer of all things. He has made everything. If we look at Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the eternal spirit that created everything and holds everything together. He is self-existent. And while our existence depends on many things, God's existence does not depend on anything. He just is. And he declared himself to be the I am that I am, the all-present one. I have always been, I will always be, and I am here right now. That's what God is, always present. And then when we enter into eternity with him, we will enter into that eternal day where there's no night, there's no death, there's no pain, no sorrow, and it's always a continual present. No aging. Amen? It's always like that, and just being with God forever and ever. It's an amazing thought. But he is the I am that I am. And he's ever present, all self-existent. And he needs nothing to keep him alive. He is the eternal being. And he is immense. God is greater than space. He expands the space. He made that. He lives outside of that. He keeps it together. This is now it's done. It's too much, isn't it, for the brain to comprehend what God is. He's just outside of all physical things and is able to keep it all together and God is, he just keeps it. He just holds it there and he makes it possible for it all to exist. You know, when they studied the atoms and things like that, they still don't know why all of those electrons stay in their orbit. Why don't they just fly off at the speed that they're going? They have no idea. And there's a force there holding them in. And no one knows what that is. Haven't worked it out yet. That's God. Amen? Inside all those atoms. Going, it's all there. And at any moment you could just go, just let you go. There you go. You know? God's, everything is in his hands. This is an amazing thought. He's eternal. So he's outside, not just outside of everything that is physical, but he's outside of time. Amen. And so he knows the beginning from the end. And we can't understand that. How can you know the beginning from the end all at once? Right. Okay, he just does, because he's ever present. He's seen it. He's seen the beginning, he's seen the end. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what was and what shall be. And he's revealed those things to us. Amen? He's told us what happened in the past. He's told us what's going to happen in the future. And he says, and I'm going to be with you always in the present with you through those things. And so he knows all of that. He's outside of time. He can't age. And we will enter into that eternal bliss with him. He's described as the everlasting God. It says from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says. He's ever, ever present. So God is a spirit. And he is one simple, absolute, purely spiritual, personal being of infinite perfectness. Holy, imminent, that means he's close, he's near. But also essentially transcendent, which is he's outside of everything in relation to all things. And because God is self-existent and he's eternal and he's a spirit, we must understand that he is ever observing. He's ever present. He's ever caring. He's there, concerned. And we have to learn to practice the presence of God. We mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. That's what they called it about 200 years ago. Practicing the presence of God. When you are conscious of the fact that God is there and that he's watching and that he's with you, and that what that does, practicing the presence of God, helps you to not do the wrong thing. Because, you know, when, I know about your kids, but you know, even when we're present, sometimes they don't do the right thing. Right? But you know, generally when you're there, they're good. And then you go away, you come back, and they're into something. Because there's no one watching them. They don't think that there's anything watching them. And we can be like that as the children of God. When God's present, we're all good, you know. You come to church, dress nice, say the right things, smile on the face, you know. Yeah, everything's great. Everything's going fine. Yeah. And then we're not in the presence of the people of God. And all of a sudden it changes a little bit. Well, that shouldn't be. It's like a naughty little kid, you know. And God's watching. We go, boy. Doing the right thing, I'm playing nicely with my brothers and sisters. You know? And then when we think God's not there, comes the monster and I'm gonna do something that I shouldn't do. And that's the thing that we have to understand. When we practice the presence of God, we have to understand that you can't run from God.
Amen.
He's everywhere. You can't hide. The night time is as the daytime to him. He created the darkness. He can see it. We have to understand that. Just the nature of God itself shows that we can't run and we can't hide. We may as well be honest with God. Amen? Be honest with God. Lord, I'm really struggling here. Lord, I'm really having a hard time. Lord, I'm not very happy about that. And be honest with God. And just say it as it is, and God will teach us, and he'll help us, and he'll help us understand. You know, when your kids get angry with each other, and something, don't you explain that to them? Explain what happened, and how maybe you should give that toy back, and maybe you should forgive, and maybe, you know, and we explain that to our children. Or when we get upset, and we get angry, and things like that, you know what God does? He says, hang on a minute. If we're practicing the presence of God, God's there, we hear him. And he says, is that the right thing? Was that the right thing to say? Was that the right thing to do? Should you have done it a different way? And then we go, I better go over there and make it right. You know? Because just the knowing the nature of God should cause us to keep our ways and to want to honour him in everything. He can't be deceived. You can say you can deceive others, but you can't deceive God. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you were thinking about. You can't hide those things. And you know, we don't have, I said the other day, we don't have control over what pops into our minds. But we do have control about what we ponder on. We can say, well, that was a bad thought. I should toss that one in the garbage. Say, Lord, can you please remove that? If it's something good, then I can think about that. I can meditate upon it and things like that. So we have to be wary of these things. That the mind can play tricks. It can make us think things of what they are not. But we can't deceive the Lord. And we can't ignore him. We can't ignore God. One day, He's going to put you right in front of him. And he's going to say, you've been trying to ignore me your whole life. Well, here I am. You're not going to get away. You're right here now. What are you going to do? And what is there to do? Who can stand before the Lord? And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll finish with this. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. One day we have to stand before the Lord, and he knows everything. So you better be truthful today to the Lord, amen. For those that will worship God, because God is a spirit, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you know God is there, and you know that you can't deceive him, and you know you can't run from him, you know you can't hide from him, and you know you can't ignore him, then you'll be truthful to the Lord. Amen? You'll be truthful to the Lord. Hebrews 10, 31. For it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And there may be someone here tonight that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Saviour. Maybe there's someone listening online that doesn't know the Lord. You can't run. You can't hide. You can't deceive. You can't ignore him. You need to come to him in truth and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And the only one that can save me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Lord. And if you want to do that this evening, then we want to give you that opportunity. And please don't leave without speaking to somebody and saying, how can I know for sure I'm going to go to heaven? How can I know? How can I make peace with God? I can't hide from him any longer. I need to be reconciled to God. And come to us and we'll help you. We'll show you through the Bible how you can know the Lord personally and how you can receive eternal life through the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us as who know the Lord, let's worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. Not being saints on Sunday and living like the devil the rest of the week. Not being good some places and bad in others. But practicing the presence of the Lord. Knowing that we're walking with him every moment. And that we would want to honour him and want to do that which is right before him. And even if we do slip up and make mistakes and do the wrong thing, that we would be quick to make that right. Amen? Just because we know the nature of God, who he is. Just like he will always be in it and he was and will always be. He knows all things. Why hide? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us about yourself. The truths that we sometimes want to forget. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us on a continual basis, Lord, to practice your presence in our life. And that we would indeed walk with you every day. And that we would be wanting to commune with you, speak with you in prayer and read your word, let you speak to us. And that as we go through our day, wherever we are, Lord, that we would want to honour you with our words, with our actions, with our lives. And so, Father, we commit this time to your hands and we ask, Lord, for you to bless and to help us and that you might be glorified through all that we say and that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.